thank you very much, and thanks for being here. This is some important stuff. I'll give you a brief introduction to myself, real briefly. I got an ID card. The last unit I belonged to was the 59th Army Band. I just resigned from it last week. I'm not as good as the guitar player you just saw, so I had to get out of there. Actually, got out of there because I can't put that uniform on anymore. It's really a disgrace what we're doing to our soldiers. And so it leads me to kind of what Lisa was referring to, the state of the education. I got three independent things I want to talk to you real briefly on the state of education, because I just got a letter from the County of Sacramento. They sent me a letter requesting to participate in the Troops to Teachers program, right? This is where they're going to recruit troops right in to become teachers in the educational system here in California. I got this letter. I said, this is remarkable. This is what you call military indoctrination. These professors that we're talking about, these teachers will be down in K-12 and high school level stuff, are basically condoning this type of scripture that second graders are writing. It's ridiculous. And in addition to that, if you take a look at what Jerry Brown did out there with the Oakland Military Academy in Oakland, and you take a look at the Starbase programs going on in San Luis Obispo and Sacramento, you know those kids are in those schools right now, and they're not being told one thing about peace, not one thing. They're being in there told, hey, we're going to war and everything's cool. And to me, that's no different than a Nazi Hitler youth. No different than that. And so the state of education concerns me because a little bit of brief background on my military career. I was airborne medic with the 18th Airborne Corps during Operation Desert Storm. I had been nominated on an active duty nomination to attend West Point by my company commander. However, you can't go to West Point after you're 22 years old because you'll graduate when you're too old. I spent my 21st birthday in Saudi Arabia, and so I was too old when I got back to go to West Point, right? So I went to drill sergeant school instead. And I'm out on Fort Sill, Oklahoma, pushing privates around, and I got a platoon of privates on January 17th, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and this platoon is predominantly black. And I asked these kids, because I want to know, I want to have a discussion about one of the greatest leaders of this nation's history, and I can't get one kid to tell me who Martin Luther King Jr. is. Not one. One young black kid raised his hand, and he said, I think he's a civil rights leader. Drill sergeant? Now, am I supposed to be upset? I can't yell at a private for that. I mean, there's a breakdown in our educational system. That was 1994. I'm not going to imagine that it's gotten any better. So that the legacy we're leaving our youth with is concerning me so greatly that I can no longer afford to sit silent. Because after I came back from Desert Storm, drill sergeant, this and that, I graduated from San Jose State University with a degree in political science, cum laude. Right? I'm a political scientist. You're going to hear from medical doctors and medical scientists and extreme, nuclear scientists, if you will, later. I'm a political scientist. And I graduated with high honors, and everybody shook my hand and thought I might be a star someday. But the situation is that I get a degree in 1995, and I kind of just start being quiet about all of the lies I had experienced in Desert Storm. I kind of shut up about 8 years ago because people started accusing me of just being a crazy old veteran. Just a crazy guy who's just talking out the side of his neck because nobody wants to agree. This KTVU report you just saw was on at 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday. You think any of the people who were working on Monday saw that? No, that stuff isn't out in the mainstream. And so as a medic, I get totally concerned because we bombed Iraq for 45 days in 1991, we bombed them for. We bombed them a lot longer than we bombed them for this time. We bombed them for 45 days, and then we started the ground war. The ground war lasted for 3 days. That's it. 72 hours after we started the ground engagement, we were stopped in our tracks and we turned around and we had to beat feet back to Saudi Arabia. Reason being is going to become real clear when you listen to Loren Moray and Doug Rocky later. See, Doug Rocky's the hero of young enlisted men like me. He's the only field grade. He's the only field grade officer who's out here, towing the line for the soldiers that are over there just being brutalized. So, I'm back on the circuit, so to speak, and really what I'd like to talk to you about is that wall we hit was depleted uranium. Soldiers walked right into it. Our own soldiers, that individual from Oakland, walked right into it, and literally, you're standing in a microwave, right? Like a potato, maybe, or something, because the potato comes out and the skin's still on it and the insides are all cooked. So I get home and we got a dust off unit, the 498, their ambulance. And we got guys up there whose skin starts peeling off almost instantly when they get home. Almost instantly their skin is peeling off, drying up and flaking off, as if cooked maybe, right? As if a dehydrated orange and the peel just squattered away, right? And so these soldiers are also having some other debilitating effects, such as their insides are just falling out of them, right in their driveway before they ever make it to the VA hospital. And I'm sitting here as a medic and I'm wondering, how in the hell did that happen? I was in the same place they were. And so for my whole adulthood, I've spent wondering if it was ever going to happen to me. You know, and we've been trained since we were kids, mind over matter, you know, all the games you can play in your little brain to pretend there's nothing wrong with you. But I knew there was something wrong with me the minute I came home. And that's literally what I want to talk to you about, is the VA experience these soldiers are going to have when they come home. You see, never in the history of a military buildup have we called up this many reservists or National Guardsmen. Never. That's why I resigned my commitment to the National Guard, the governor's own band in San Francisco. Never in the history have we put this many reservists or National Guardsmen at risk. And the problem is these soldiers are not coming back to military installations. They're coming back to your neighborhood. They're coming back to your streets. Because, I mean, that's where they come. They come back to their armories, and then they go home with their wife. So all these debilitating effects that these soldiers have experienced for the last 12 years are going to be immediate and instant right back in our local communities. Because they don't have any infrastructure. They had no infrastructure for the active duty soldiers returning 12 years ago. They got no infrastructure for reservists or National Guardsmen right now. They're not even thinking about it. They're still wondering about an exit strategy to get out of Iraq. So briefly, I want to tell you, because Lisa mentioned the School of Americas. This is a brief story. 34th Medical Battalion defeats School of Americas to grab soccer league title. It's the only time the School of Americas has ever been written about on the Fort Benning bayonet. And I was playing goalie that game, and we beat them in a shootout. If you can imagine beating a Latin American, basically, team, which just meant they were great soccer players, and we beat them. School of Americas exists on Fort Benning. The first cardiac patient I ever treated as a medic was a 54-year-old general from El Salvador. That's the first cardiac patient I ever had in the treatment center. I called home. I told my dad. I said, it happened. I had a cardiac patient, just like you told me medics do. It was a 54-year-old general from El Salvador. He said, what the hell are you doing working on El Salvadorian generals? Why aren't you working on American soldiers? I said, I don't know. I'm 19, right? I was out there because I spoke Spanish, you know? I was a California kid. That's how I ended up out there, and I had no idea what was going on until, I'm kidding you. I mean, I'm not kidding you. Years later. Years later, when you start connecting the dots, you realize what's been going on. But at 19, we've never fielded since, I mean, Vietnam was the youngest military ever. I mean, you know, and we're getting younger as the years go on, right? And they're just not telling you that it's 19 and 20-year-old kids out there, the same kids who are, you know, well, we know what they're wondering. So here we go. We got 26 soldiers earn an EFMB. This is an expert field medical badge. It takes a truckload of work to get one of these, and very few people get it. I got it. So as a medic, I knew what I was doing. I was out there monitoring these soldiers. And as a medic and a drill sergeant, the only thing I've ever been concerned about is the health and welfare of the soldiers. That's it. You know, I can't tell you that I've preoccupied myself with a number of other things except that we're at the pinnacle of ignorance if we're sending soldiers in and killing them ourselves. In 1991, I filed a claim with the Veterans Affairs saying I suffered from dizziness, fatigue, headache, accompanied by nausea since February of 1991. They give you a debriefing, a medical debriefing when you leave the installation. I don't think this medical debriefing is going to be occurring to the National Guardsmen or the reservists. This medical debriefing, June 12, 91. Do you have any urinary problems? Yes. Have you had any nightmares or trouble sleeping? I said no. But remember, June of 1991, we'd only been home 3 months. I was still collecting baseball cards of, you know, General Schwarzkopf and stuff. But those nightmares have shown up. Have you had recurring thoughts about your experiences during Desert Shield and Desert Storm? Yes. Do you have reasons to believe that you or any members of your unit were exposed to chemical warfare or germ warfare? Yes. Answered yes to them all. And then there's just an incredible list of the following are disease threats found in Southwest Asia. It starts with anthrax and it ends with typhus. It goes alphabetically, so you can imagine what's in between there. There's about 36 of them. Positive responses in item 8, 9, 10, and 11 require answers to the following questions from a medical doctor. I never once talked to a medical doctor. Never once. I file my claim with the Veterans Affairs. And they basically say that I'm not, they just deny me. They just flat out say they deny me. And in addition to this, If anybody's ever seen Jacob's Ladder, they're going to know what I'm talking about right now. This is what I had to write to him in my letter after they denied my claim. I have enclosed a copy of the appropriate DD-214, as yours is incorrect. The federal government had sent the Veterans Affairs the wrong DD-214, one stating that I had never served in Southwest Asia, just like in Jacob's Ladder. And it's all here, boy. I hand it out like candy, too. May 3rd, 1994, right? 3 years post the war. The veteran currently alleges numerous systems as a result of exposure to bromine. These are the PB tablets. These PB tablets, we ate 3 of them a day, 7 days a week, and Major Doug Rocky will explain the real ramifications of it. But I vomited profusely and projectile vomiting for days after I ate them. And I stopped eating them because I was a medic, and I know if my body doesn't want it, then it really doesn't want it. So I quit eating it. But if you can imagine those soldiers, albeit some of them are from the Ozarks and don't even know we landed on the moon. And if you can imagine that they're soldiers who don't know who Martin Luther King Jr. is, you can imagine that they ate a couple extra packets thinking more's the better. And if it's that bad and what it has done to us and the effects we've had from it, you can't tell me that these kids aren't really hurting. And you're going to get some wonderful statistics as we go on. I don't need to overlap or anything like that because they're going to come to you. But these soldiers, there's an atrocious amount of us who get a check every month. Mine's for $201. And the reason they give me this check, well, it says right here in my paperwork, undiagnosed illnesses. Could you imagine if they had to diagnose me? July of 1995, almost 4 years later after I filed my claim, Agent Orange, Persian Gulf, ionizing radiation worksheet. They finally tested me, or said they were testing me up at the VA. I don't even remember what the test was. They never came back and said I got any radiological impacts, but they were saying they were testing us for radionization. I have no idea how much radionization I was exposed to. But I think the kicker is that when they're giving you a check every month, but not telling you what's wrong with you, I mean, this is a crew of geniuses, you know. I mean, what do they think, I'm dumb, that I don't realize that what Doug Rocky is talking about isn't true? And so the end result here is the evaluation of an undiagnosed illness manifested by chest pain, shortness of breath, back pain, abdominal pain with nausea and vomiting, headaches and fatigue is continued as 10% disabling. So they're admitting that I'm disabled, but they just won't admit to the causal relationship between DU, polybromide tablets, all types of things that just basically just created havoc. One of my concerns now, though, as a political scientist, is that in 1985, Ronald Reagan shook hands with Mikhail Gorbachev. And they shook hands just like this in front of the world. Right? And Ronald Reagan said, "Doveryai, no proveryai." And in Russian, that means peace through disarmament. They made a disarmament agree in 1985 that said we were going to nuclear disarm. And what we did for the last 20 years has lied to the whole international community about that. And maybe Ronald Reagan has Alzheimer's, but I don't. And some of you have my readers out there, and I hope you get a chance to glance at them, and those pictures in there are all real. And anybody who wants to see real pictures of real war and real, I keep a photo of them. I've been showing it to people for 12 years. And I'm telling you, what this weapon does that we're using, man, it just melts people. It's an incredible weapon we're using. And it's just melting people all over the world. And to bring this a little bit locally for everybody in closing, Hunter's Point is just up the road from me. And in Hunter's Point, we left that depleted uranium all over the place. And I think that the alarms should be going off all over this city and all over this state and all over the place, because it's all over the place itself. And if we don't actually take action, you know, and stand against something that is just totally ignorant, if we're not able to do it, we're going to be left stranded in a few years. And as a political scientist, I've studied global warming and the whole meltdown of the universe. I've studied the Ice Age stuff and wondered if we were all going to freeze to death. And I read about Jude Berry and the Earth First people back in the early 90s. And nothing has ever scared the shit out of me like this does, ever. And after 15 years of service to this nation and the Constitution and everything I've ever done, and my great uncle was in World War I and my grandfathers were in World War II, and they said that was the last war we were ever going to fight in because that was the war for democracy, and my uncles were in Vietnam, I have to stand on the other side now. I have to stand against the military-industrial complex. And once again, I thank y'all for being here. And my last thought is I could take from Socrates and we could just try to think critically and act wisely. Or we could take from Jesus Christ and we could act out of love or kindness. But anything is better than what this country is presenting to the world right now.